Mr. Ed Jovanovski. Jovo Cop, you get to work from home every day, don't you?
Yeah, hey, James Curry, how you guys doing? You guys are, I see social distancing from home. I know it's been crazy on everyone, but you're right. I think it's the right thing to do right now, and I know it's hard on everyone. Got all the kids home, too. It's gong show in my house, and just like everybody else's.
Yeah, it is certainly different, Eddie. You know, here, and we'll have some sports conversation, but we want to deal with the reality. You know, I know here on the weekend it wasn't great. People were out at the beaches and doing that. Hey, you live in Florida where it is nice. Are you seeing people being responsible? You know, what are the local news? You know, you need people to buy into this. Are you seeing it in your area?
I am. You see the occasional. I think people are getting out, kind of like what we've been hearing to do. Just, you know, it's okay to go for a walk. Just kind of don't kind of herd up into groups. So you're seeing that on the roads. I rode by the beach yesterday, and it was dead. There was nobody on the beach. They had Boca Police sitting right out there. So you're seeing a lot more law enforcement out on the street. I think just if they do see some sort of gathering, that they're breaking them up. And so I know the U.S., I think certain areas, I think Florida's, I think we're headed there, you know, unfortunately. I think it needs to be done, but I'm hearing through, I'm not no newscaster. I'm you know, figuring it out. I'm just hearing it through friends and people that Miami-Dade is going to go on complete lockdown and working their way north here. So I don't know what to expect here in the next 12 to 24 hours, but whatever needs to be done, I think, to prevent this from spreading.
Yeah, no, and that's, I mean, that was a thing where we were seeing these videos. I mean, I guess who are we to sit there and criticize out in Vancouver? I mean, we had beaches that were packed last weekend, although I think people have gotten a lot better over the last few days. And
I think everywhere has. Think everywhere has, and it's a good sign.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, I want to, before we kind of dive into a couple of things, and I wanted to ask you, you were a first overall pick going back in 1994, right? It was 94 first overall?
94, yep.
So they just announced in the Western Hockey League that a 14-year-old, he'll be 15 this July, a kid who plays, who's from the North Shore, Connor Bedard. He's just been granted exceptional player status. First time ever in the Western Hockey League. Obviously in the O, McDavid, Tavares, Ekblad. You know, Joe Valeno in the queue has also been granted it as well. So, I mean, it's a very short list. But what do you, as somebody who's been that guy, that top dog from an NHL draft standpoint, what do you make of a decision for a 15-year-old to get exceptional player status to go into major junior?
Well, just before touching on that, I think for me, as you know, kind of my story, I actually went to the OHL draft as an underage. I sat through the first three rounds. At the time, you only can be drafted in the first three rounds. I didn't get drafted. And I thought the world was crashing down.
And you're 15.
Right.
At that time.
Yeah. I was going as an underage. I didn't get picked. Maybe they didn't think I was ready. So I think moving forward, I think in today's game, you see the talent level on these kids that you almost think, is it kind of holding them back, kind of not playing with the better competition, or is their 14-year-old, 15-year-old brain kind of on the same level as his peers? So you bring him up to the next level at that young of an age. I don't know. I'm in the thought process of if he's good enough and he can hold his own. I think you can advance these kids, you know, to play with higher, older, you know, guys. You look, it's no different in the NHL. I know when 18 to 15 is a big jump. You know, you're an adult at 18 and you have the NHL players coming in and holding their own and taking the league by storm. So I look at it as is, you know, if he's capable of playing and, you know, he's consulting the right people, his family. Is this kid related to the Bedard from Detroit?
No, I don't believe so.
The goal—I think it was the goalie coach in Detroit, Bedard.
No, I don't think so, Eddie. But here would be my question is, what's the rush? I mean, the kid lit it up. And
exactly. I mean, you can look at it both ways.
He's still going to be a 2023 draft pick. Like, that's not ever going to change.
Right. And that's where, you know, the little bit of kind of, I guess, confusion, you know, comes in is what is the rush. But, you know, you see a lot of kids, I think, you know, you hear about it in school as well, like fast tracking the kid. You know, he's in grade six, but the kid thinks on a grade eight level. You know, I never got that for, you know, going to the office and them telling my kids they're ready for grade eight when they're in grade six. But I think just at a maturity level, I think the, you know, kids slot in their age group, you know.
But Ed, if you have your head down getting fries and gravy, man, you're not going to get hammered. And I think that's the concern. At 15, you could be playing 20-year-olds, and physically, it doesn't matter how big and strong you are at 15, and you probably were a pretty decent-sized kid. To me, it's the physical matchup. Right. I'm sure he probably thinks the game like a 25-year-old, but
right,
that physicality, that could end it.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that comes in all with the maturity, and I wanted to throw that out, the physicality part of it. You're right. I mean, when I came in the league as an 18-year-old, you're hitting these guys at 32 years old, and literally you hit them, and you lose all your wind. I mean, these are like old man strength guys that can really kind of hunker down in a corner and really send a message. So I think it's happened before where guys have got up to that next level. Probably won't be the last time to see it. I think it's a decision that's going to come within that family.
Ed Jovanovski here on Sportsnet 650. I would go back to the conversation. You know, we talked about this a little bit with Bert yesterday. Dan Cleary's name came up, but Eddie, you would have been in the Ontario League at that time. Like, Dan Cleary, 25 years ago, was a 15-year-old and put up 100 points in the O. You know, Jason Spezza, you know, and I think back to like my days of covering junior, you know, at least back in Ontario, Jason Spezza, you know, in Brampton was,
right,
you know, he put up some big numbers as a 15-year-old. You know, I think these decisions, like I kind of lean towards your point, Eddie, like, you know, if a kid's ready to go, I mean, he's ready to go. I understand the physicality element, but I mean, it you know, I guess parried to the parallel that you're drawing from, you know, even from a National Hockey League standpoint, you know, a kid at 18 may not necessarily have the physical, like, he's going to fill out. Elias Pettersson, case in point, right? Elias Pettersson, slight and lean, mm-hmm, and slender when he breaks into the NHL, going up against a guy who might be built like a Milan Lucic, for that matter, right? But, I mean, if you can play, you can play. I mean, do you wait and say, well, you know what, let's wait for another 2 years for Elias to put on another 15 pounds before he's a little more physically ready? I mean, even, like, you're in a league against teenagers. He's already shown that he can play against kids that are significantly older than him already, playing in a U18 league. If he's ready to go, man, like, I look at the decisions, the exceptional cases that they have allowed. Like, you're talking about all-world generational talents for the most part. McDavid, you know, Tavares, is, you know, he's making $11 million a year. Like, John Tavares has not been a bust in the NHL.
Right.
And, you know, even Eric Ekblad, I mean, we can debate on just whether he was a first overall pick. But, Eddie, at the same time, like, he was taken first overall, and that was a kid who was given exceptional player status.
Right, and... You look at Ekki's development, and this series that he's having a great year, and you look at the situations a lot of teams, this kind of forwarding to the NHL. I think the teams that have, you know, the patience on waiting for these kids to develop, unless you're a Tavares, you know, McDavid, Sid, these guys that you know are going to come in and make a difference. A lot of these teams, like, you come into Florida where you get an 18-year-old Ekblad coming in, he was the best defenseman that year. You know, so I don't think there was time to kind of hold, okay, Ekki, go back to, you know, junior, fill out. The kid's done everything in junior. Won world juniors, or, you know, he was kind of dominating there in the OHL. So I think the move where Florida was thinking, listen, he's going to develop better at this level, let him kind of trials and tribulations of being a young player. We all went through it, but I think physically mature enough, he was a big kid, he's ready. Having said all that, I think all these points are valid. You can kind of debate them each way. I had a scenario when I was playing Windsor Minor Hockey. I played with a kid, I'm not going to say his name, just ever. He was exceptional. I mean, this kid was the next. I mean, he put, you know, stories on him. He was a scorer. He was a man child. You know, his father took him actually out of Windsor Minor Hockey and moved him into the Michigan National League. He made the kid sit out 1 year, to play the following year in the Michigan National League. So I think these are a lot of extremes too that parents have influence on these kids. I think it's better, you know, these kids kind of playing kind of where they're at, not missing a full season to continue to switch leagues. He was an underage pick in the OHL. Before you know it, he was kind of out of hockey. So I think a lot of these times when the kids are young, just let them be kids in certain ways. Have them still experience kind of, you know, a couple sports. And you hear it. It's coming from Crosby, too. His favorite sport was baseball. You know, he's playing baseball. I think a lot of these kids are playing multiple sports. And to your point, both of your points, there's no rush. I mean, by that time, the cap probably is going to be $150 million. This kid's going to make a lot of money if he's good enough. You know, he's going to take the league by storm. So I understand where a lot of people are looking at. And it was to my point as well. If he's good enough, you know, see how he does. And or the other approach is, hey, just let him mature, kind of play with his peers, dominate that league, and move on to the next one.
Eddie, it's a fascinating conversation, and you've kind of lived it. And we've kind of gone from, you know, who's this for? Is it the kid? Is the parent that, you know, the finish line is still always going to be 2023? You went as an underage then to see if you were going to be drafted. But if people don't know your story, you didn't start hockey till later in life. I don't think you were from a family that was hockey crazy. Who guided you to say, Ed, let's make yourself available as an underage? I mean, was it you? Were you pushing that scenario to see if you could play in the O earlier than most?
Well, it was my agent at the time, Anton Sun. You know, I was playing for, Windsor Minor, and, you know, I was kind of accelerating my, you know, just was taking that next step. But I believe it or recall, I think the conversation was, listen, just go, you know, if things happen, you know, they happen. You know, unfortunately, yeah, as your 15-year-old kid kind of going to the OHL draft, not getting drafted, it was a long ride home, you know. So, but, you know, it worked out. The following year, Windsor picked me number two, so I got to stay in my hometown. And then Florida took me. So, but you're right. I mean, it wasn't a traditional kind of way of kind of getting to where you wanted to be. Didn't start playing organized hockey till 11. I went to a house league practice, my first practice, and coach came to my dad, is your son interested in trying out for the Windsor Minor AA team tomorrow? My dad's like, it's his first practice. So my dad told me, and of course, as a kid, you're giddy, you're excited. So I went and tried out for that double-A team and ended up making it. And one of the trophies that I still have in my office was most prized one was I won most improved player that year. So and then from there, you know, you guys started getting into the AAA and you start moving forward. But it was definitely wasn't, for family where my dad played semi-pro soccer in Europe. European parents in Macedonia, it wasn't hockey. So I had the dad that sat in the corner, that kept his mouth shut and just let his kids have fun. So,
Joe Vocop with us here on Sportsnet 650. Good perspective there from a guy who's kind of lived it and breathed it over the last 25 years and even longer during your hockey journey. Hey, we had somebody on our text line here that had an interesting question. It's funny because we talked to Brian Burke about this. I think I heard Brian Burke actually on No BS. He has a regular segment that drops on daily here on Sportsnet 650. And he talked about how he kind of regretted the ultimately trading away Donald Brashear. But there was an element that Brash was, he'd kind of stopped fighting at that point because he was worried about constantly getting penalized. But question from somebody asking, saying, what was the dressing room's reaction when Berkey traded away Donald Brashear? a trade that Burke has since said he regrets because he added a nice element to the team that would have been great during the 2002, 2003, and 2004 playoffs. Do you remember that sort of what the dynamic or how things changed since Brashear was traded?
I don't with a full memory, but I know as a player when guys get traded, and Brash was a big part of the team. He had a big voice. He stood up for teammates. he was a guy that the players really looked on to kind of send that message. And I know what Berkey's talking about. And I think you look at today's game, it's kind of a little bit shied away from that. But he was a true enforcer. You know, he was that guy that kind of paid his dues and fought his way up. And when he had to take care of business, he would. But I think it's any other reaction, just like you're getting, around the league when an important piece of a team gets moved. Everybody's kind of, has that shock period of what was management thinking or what's going on to create that move. So, but other than that, I don't remember exactly it was like a shock.
Jovo, when did you become you said Brash was a big presence in a dressing room. When did you, or were you ever a big presence in a dressing room? When did you become that?
Well, I think when a lot of things in my career kind of circled around when I got traded to Vancouver. I felt in Florida as a young kid coming in, we were veteran loaded. We had a lot of guys to look up to. So your voice wasn't, that heard, back in the day it was rookie, act like a rookie. And usually that went for 2 to 3 years, but coming to Vancouver, I think, things weren't very good. And, at that time I felt like it was a leadership opportunity for myself to be able to be vocal enough where you're grabbing the attention of players when you speak. And obviously Mess was there, so kind of learned from him as well. So I think a couple of years into my tenure in Vancouver was, the time where I felt like, I would say something and you'd get the respect from your teammates.
Thank you for this, buddy. Stay safe with the kids in Florida. Be smart about it all. And that was a really interesting conversation in light of, kids and how they can fast track all this. As always, we appreciate catching up with you on Wednesday mornings.
Yeah, guys, enjoyed it. It's been a weird couple weeks, but you two stay safe over there and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, go easy on your kids. Don't strangle them over there. It sounds like you're ready to.
Seeing them do school online, it's like, they got their laptops on, you see all the kids kind of around, you see the teacher in the middle, but then you see my son on the side, he's like looking at hockey YouTube far down website. So you got to check in on Monday. I mean, that's at that 13-year-old age, my son, he's really asking questions now. And it's funny you brought up Brash because he showed me that clip the other day when Marty kind of got him and, trying to explain to a 13-year-old kind of, sometimes the stupidity that happens in our game. But anyway, it's good to catch up, guys. Good hearing your voices, and stay safe.
You as well, buddy. Wash those hands, and we'll talk to you next week. Maybe we could talk about that incident next week as well.
Sure.
All right, buddy.
All right, guys.
Be good.